Good to see you here. I know people are still trickling in because we have the Finger Food Fellowship going on tonight, so we're setting up for that. Yeah. You know, even as we start off our time tonight, I just want to share with you some things that I'm learning. But I'm reading, I just started reading through a biography about a guy named John Knox. How many of you are familiar with John Knox? You've heard the name, maybe? And John Knox, he was during the 1500s, he was from Scotland, and this guy came to faith in Christ through another preacher of the word, and this is the time period, keep in mind, where preaching the gospel got you killed. And John Knox, the man who led him to Christ, as far as we know, ended up dying for his faith in Christ, and then in time, John Knox was one of these individuals where people were saying, you are gifted to teach. You need to teach. And he would say, I'm not. I'm only going to do what God has me do. And they wrote him this letter saying, if you don't do this, you're going to incur God's judgment upon you because you need to speak because we're learning from you. And he ended up speaking and teaching other individuals. And John Knox, here's this guy who has this timidity, like, I don't want to speak. But if you were to just look at how he spoke, even to rulers, people in authority, you would think he just has, I mean, he has this immense force in his speech. He confronted the sins of the people. He had to flee Scotland for a time period. At least, I think it was at least a couple of times, maybe at least once, but I think a couple. And then finally, he had this yearning for the Scottish people and his country. And he says something to the effect that his prayer was, oh, that we could preach freely the gospel in Scotland. And with that desire, he went back to Scotland knowing that to preach freely meant he was going to die. But he got on the Scottish island and he started preaching the gospel of Jesus. And they said it was just like, it's like a horse going out onto the track. Immediately he's running. And he'd miss people killing him at almost every turn. But he'd speak and 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 speak out for the gospel. And there's this one part in the midst of all of this. One of his opponents, one of his critics, said this about him. Despite his thunderings. Now here's a guy who was really timid internally, but he spoke out. This one said, despite his thundering, no one occasion do we find him influenced by selfish or venal motives. In this respect, he stands alone and preeminent over all men. And then, and I think about that with his life and think, man, how did he do that? How did he speak out? How is he so bold? And he wasn't just going selfish motives. He wanted people to know the gospel. And here's a quote that John Knox wrote. He said, I sought neither preeminence, glory, nor riches. My honor was that Jesus Christ should reign. That was it. How could he be bold? Because he had a superior passion for the glory of Jesus. How could he speak out? It wasn't himself. Other friends would even say at his funeral how weak and timid a man he was, left to himself. They saw it in personal interaction, yet God worked through this man because Jesus was his passion. And isn't that wonderful to know? We can walk around and say, yeah, but I'm not that kind of person. Yeah, but I can't even. No, I can't. No. With Christ, all things are possible. Whatever God calls us to, we can do. Because with him, all things are possible. So I hope even tonight, as we sing, and even as we hear the testimony of God's saving grace in Dave's life, and even as we pray, I hope that we understand the God whom we're seeking after, and the God whom we praise. And so with introduce Dave, and introduce just with a way of reminder of what we're doing on the last Sunday that we're together, providing opportunity for people to share testimonies of how God has worked in their life, or maybe even how God is working in their lives, to open up and to be grateful to hear stories of God's mercy. But to remind you that even scripturally, we're to look at examples, right? I mentioned last month Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we call that the hall of faith, and we read about different people and the different things that happened in their lives and how they underwent trials and persecutions. But we have a conclusion of what is the point of hearing testimonies. And Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. So let us be encouraged with greater zeal in our pursuit of godliness as we hear other people and their pursuit of God. But there's a key ingredient, there's a key component in all of this. He doesn't just stop just saying, let's just try harder. He says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Because that's the point. Even what I talked about with John Knox, he couldn't have done any of that without Jesus. And that's where all the glory belongs, Jesus and what he has done and how he has worked in people's lives. So I pray that you would be encouraged tonight, even as you hear God's ministry of grace and what he had done in Dave's heart and in Dave's life. And I'm just going to pray, and then Dave, you can come on up and share. Okay? You ready? You ready? Okay, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your kindness. And we ask, Lord, that you would cause our hearts to praise you all the more this evening. Through listening to how you work and have worked in Dave's life, I pray that we would be encouraged in Jesus. Father, that we would even be brought closer together as a body of believers. Because all of us have stories of grace in our lives. And I pray that we would be encouraged in your working, not only in his life, but in all of our lives. And Father, even tonight as we go on into Finger Food Fellowship, I pray there'd be real fellowship that takes place, real encouragement and godliness too. So Lord, to your name belong the glory, and help us, we pray, to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. To him belongs the glory and the praise. Amen.
I don't know if you can you hear me from here, or shall I use the mic? Use the mic. Okay.
All right. Well, it's good to see each of you out tonight. You are a blessing to me, and I really mean that. There's a couple weeks ago when I was sick and I didn't make it. There's a hole, and it doesn't get filled till the next Sunday when I see you folks. It is good. And I'm talking to you as brothers and sisters, as family. So hopefully that's an encouragement that you've got a brother like me, but there's always a black sheep. So my testimony, boy, as I look back and was trying to, condense it, it just comes down to grace. I just look back and see, even before I was saved, how God was working in my life, and it wasn't me. I was born in a mostly an Italian family, so I was raised Catholic. My last name is German, but that goes way back. My mom was Italian, so I'm half Italian, which, okay. But and my grandpa and grandma were born, raised in Chicago. That was during the Al Capone days. And that's what brought them up into the Michigan area. They bought a farm up here in Fenville because they wanted to get the family out of that situation. Now, in saying that, my mother's cousin is the godfather of Chicago. So it is in the family. He's in prison. My cousin and I, who is saved also, he's down in that area. We do have a burden for him, and we have talked when we've gotten together about we'd like to go visit him and present the gospel. So far, that has not presented the opportunity. But anyway, aside from that, I was raised as a Catholic. My life was, I was the good son. My mother and dad always, they never had a problem with Dave. I was, again, the good kid. I still remember them talking to my sister, why can't you be more like your brother? And of course, this made me always feel very good. In being, again, a Catholic, I was an altar boy. I was altar boy of the year a few times, which was, again, Marks for me to get out of purgatory on up into heaven at that time. And this was kind of my goal, was I was thinking about seriously becoming a priest. The issue there is, as I got older and discovered girls, I knew that was not going to be my calling. But anyway, that's where I was raised. I look back on that, and I can appreciate some of the things that the Catholic Church taught me. It taught me a reverence for God. I never had any issues of Jesus Christ being God. They taught us that. The thing that they didn't teach us was that he was man, and he came and died for me and for each of us. Our intercessor was Mary, and it was, well, obviously that's false, but anyway, it did help me, so I never had the issue of, as some, and we might even consider some of the Catholic Church's teachings as being cultish in that respect. But again, I learned reverence. I knew the Ten Commandments. I knew God's requirements. And this was a heavy weight to carry for me, because I knew I did not match up. I could not meet these things. And even going to confession. At the time when I was going to confession, I felt, you know, this is what you're taught. So I believe that this was the way God had planned for man to get to him and to have our sins forgiven, was to go to confession. But afterwards, I would know that, well, I kind of felt as though my sins were forgiven, but I still knew once I stepped out, I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin. And what's going to happen to me if I'm not near a confessional or a priest to have my sins forgiven before I die? And so that weight was hanging over me. And I remember as I got older, as I was a teenager, I went and I talked to the priest. And I asked him, I said, do you ever think there'll be a time that we can go directly to God and have our sins forgiven? And he said, no, that'll never happen. So I felt, and I remember walking away, and I can remember exactly talking to God and saying, Lord, that's a poor plan that you've got for this. I said, this is just, I know you're God, and this is it, but it just does not seem like that's a good plan. And praise God, it wasn't. It wasn't his plan. So during that time, as I was in high school, I happened to notice a good-looking young girl, and she's still good-looking. And I happened to started following her in class. I guess you would classify me now as a stalker, but I knew what her classes were, and I just followed her around. Fortunately, as a Catholic at that time, I still had a list of what I was looking for in a girl. She had to meet certain requirements. And as far as I knew, she did. And so I was following her around. I just had to get the courage up to ask her. Well, I finally did when I was a senior and had graduated, because I figured if she told me no, I wouldn't have to face her in school. So I called her up. We did go out for a short time, and then we didn't see each other for a while. I at the time was filling my life in with still searching, still attending church. My parents were not practicing Catholics; they were very nominal. But my parents did take me to church. I went every Sunday. And they dropped me off, and then they picked me up when I was done. And So I did that sometimes. I even went twice if I served and that. And looking back on it, when I was in school, it's kind of an odd note, but I know as altar boys, we always look forward to funerals because we could get out of class to serve. So it's just one of those things. So, but anyway, as it went on, there was a year and a half gap in there between when I first asked Norma to go on a date, and we did, and then because I was Catholic, we kind of separated at that point. And for that year and a half, though, I could not, and I believe it was the Lord, did not get her out of my mind at that point, because I had aunts and uncles and other relations and relatives and stuff that were trying to set me up with other girls because I was the good boy. And going back to the confessional and me leaving and feeling those things is the issue I knew was not so much my outward actions, is I knew what my heart was like. I knew I could not cease from sinning. I knew when I got out, you know, Lord, I cannot stop. I do not have the power to not sin. I mean, either in my, and it was basically, I knew it was my thought life. And because outwardly I was, again, the good kid. But if I hit my hand with a hammer, inwardly I was cursing, but nobody heard it on the outside. But I knew what my heart was like. And that was a difficult thing of living with, that burden of how do you get rid of this? And so carrying this on. But anyway, after that year and a half, I went and got the courage up to call her to see if we could go and get a cup of coffee, which we did. And she invited me to church. And I can remember at that time, this was back in 1971, I came in, the church was packed back then, and much like it is now, and I sat in the back because that's what was available. And when I heard the pastor, Pastor Frank Thompson, and he was preaching, and he opened up the word, I don't know what he was preaching on at the time, but I thought, wow, this is great. This is great. You know, I never heard anything like this in the Catholic Church. You know, it was all Latin and formal. And I heard it, and wow, I wanted more. So I kept coming back, and kept coming back. Of course, it didn't hurt that Norma was there with me, and she was there. So I kept coming back, and it was just, wow, this is great. This is great. And the words were just freeing. And I said, I need to, now, during this time, Norma was trying to witness to me, but I was not, you might say, ready at the time, even though the Holy Spirit was churning. But I guess I had other ideas about Norma and not so much listening to her testimony as I was, you know, wow, she sure is cute, type of thing. So anyway, but I did stop over and I talked to Pastor Thompson. One, it was a Monday night over in the parsonage, and he led me through the plan of salvation, and I was on my knees and I accepted the Lord at that time. And I can just remember man, that burden was gone. I mean, that weight was gone. And I thought, wow, you know. And the word, I was hungry, just couldn't get enough of it. The just growing, and boy, it was, it was just a blessing. And the people here, even back then, they were such a blessing. I know they're not here now, but Don and Bernice, I mean, I couldn't, you can't ask for nicer in-laws. except for Brandon. He's got Norm and I. We might be in that situation. But anyway, no, Don and Bernice, just, oh, such patient people. Such patient, loving people. And Don, you know, I'd come up with some ideas because I was still mixing Catholic teaching with some of this, and he'd patiently say, you know, no, that's not quite how it goes, and kind of go through the Bible and learn these things. And of course, at that time, too, Terry Burlingame, who is my brother-in-law, married Norma's sister, he was also going through seminary at the time, and he was very, very helpful in teaching and being patient and leading me. And just other couples. I remember Henry and Fern. Boy, when we were first, Norm and I were first married, they invited us over to their home. And it's just, if you don't know Henry, or knew Henry, it's pretty hard to explain him, because he was just such a gentle man and patient. And he didn't say much, but when he did, you listen to what he said, and he was just, again, just a loving, very gentle, patient couple that just helped along. And we had, you know, other good friends that we had, Wayne and Sue, another couple. Wayne was a good friend there, been for many years, and Wayne would help straighten me out on a few things that I had, too, and I appreciated that. And Wayne wasn't afraid to tell me, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you know, and again, those were things that, those are good. And I just want to encourage you, if you have friends or you see somebody, to come alongside them and encourage them if you see something. Because, you know, sometimes you may not always appreciate it at the time, but you do think about it, because if you're truly saved, and the Holy Spirit will take those words and he'll work in your heart and he'll cause those things, and he'll break those walls down if we're humble enough to let him do that. And again, I'm not saying that I'm that humble, but he broke those walls and softened my heart in spite of myself. And those things are just precious as I look back. And just throughout the years, the Lord has just, he has been faithful. He's taken his word. There just aren't words to express how grateful I am. I think at times, looking back, and it hits me every once in a while, if I'm in a store or something, I may catch a song that I heard when I was back before I was saved. And it's good, but it's scary at the time, because it brings back that feeling of what I was under. And then I can stop and think, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for relieving that burden that I had to carry. And it's just great. And another interesting thing that came up is when I was 16, I was able to go work with my dad at his plant factory. They allowed summer help at that time, and I was working next to a fella. His name was Jetty. I forget what his last name was. Not Jerry, but it was Jetty. J-E-D-D-I. Jetty. And he was a Southern Baptist preacher, and I got to work next to him. And after working with him for a summer, I thought, I'm never going to be a Baptist. I'm never going to be a Baptist. Those people are weird. And yeah, lo and behold, never say never. So, but no. the Lord worked with me after I was saved, and continued, a step, as I look back, another step that I want to encourage you folks as parents, just appreciate and hold fast to those times that you have when your children are little. I mean, there are times I look back And it just, my heart aches for those times when I can take my kids and just give them a hug and put them in bed or wrestle with them, and they just grow up way too fast. They just grow up way too fast. And I just miss those times. I just miss those times. At the time, you kind of look forward to, oh, I can't wait till they reach this stage. And then they can be a little more independent. And then when they reach this stage, you know, and then they can be on their own. And then when they're out of the house, then we're free. No, don't wish for that at all. Don't wish for that at all. And just, you know, when you can, just hug them and love them. Because, boy, oh, boy, you're going to look back and think, where did that time go? And, I'm thankful that I've got a lovely daughter and a great son-in-law. And I think it all had to do with me, but it's no. They've been a blessing to me, and I really appreciate my two sons and that. But again, just as an encouragement to appreciate friends, thank them, and be an encouragement. You can never be too much of an encouragement to anybody. Just encouragement. Be positive as much as you can. And hug those kids. Hug them. Oh, my. Just appreciate that time. So that's, thank you.
Yeah, you know, being able to hear testimonies of grace again, I think about what Dave was saying. It actually reminded me of a little bit of the story of Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody who's read that, Pilgrim's Progress? Yeah, many of you. And where Pilgrim, he's just, how can I get rid of this burden? How can I lay this down? And how God reveals himself to people, even to this day, that have that question, how can I relieve myself of this burden? And you know, even Dave's background and where his story, his family line and all this stuff, I mean, it's God weaving and organizing all of these details to bring a person to himself. You know, we all have different stories though, right? And isn't that part of the encouragement too? Some of you were saved at very young ages. Some of you were saved older on in life. Some of you come from very poor backgrounds. Maybe some of you come from wealthy backgrounds. Maybe some of you come from in-between backgrounds. But the reality is still the same. God is the God who saves, no matter where you come from, right? He uses all of these different types of circumstances to draw people to himself, to illumine eyes. And none of us should be discouraged. Even in this world in which we live, here we are, and man, are these people going to know Christ? Is this person going to know Christ? You know what? God saves today. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And again, even when we think about in Jesus' day, you have Jesus dealing with people. They didn't listen to him when Jesus was on the earth. Then you have, in the city of Jerusalem, you have people coming to faith in Christ after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And thousands of people coming to know Christ. And I just tell you this because I do want to move on into a little bit of a prayer time here. And just, I'm going to ask you in a moment to break up into groups, whatever size, and whoever wants to pray, to pray in those groups. But asking you to share one or two people that may be a burden on your heart to pray for their salvation, that they would come to know Christ. Recognizing with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible, right? And so to break up into those groups, pray for those individuals, and really pray believing that God has the power. We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know God is good, God's in control, God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked, and God wants people to praise him on this earth. So break up into groups, pray, and even if, maybe I would just say this, if you have somebody in your mind, you're like, now that would be an impossibility, pray. And then I would ask for you guys who are in those groups to remember those people this week. And tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, get into a little bit of a habit praying for those people. And I bet maybe throughout the weeks to come, you'll remember certain of these individuals as you're at work, and you're just doing something, whatever it is. Oh, Lord, I pray for this person. And encourage each other in praying for those who are burdens on our heart for their salvation. So with that, let's break up into these groups, and we're going to go till about the 7 o'clock point. And if you've made it in the rounds, keep praying and keep seeking God for his mercy in that. So go ahead and break up into groups. If groups want to continue to pray after I pray, you can feel free to do so. But I'm going to pray for us, and we can, those of us who are done in our prayer time, we can move on. But let me pray here for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your kindness and your mercy. If it wasn't for your mercy, we'd all be consumed. But great is your faithfulness. And Lord, even this creation speaks and shouts out your glory. We see it because you've opened our eyes, and we're asking that you would open other people's eyes, more people's eyes, the eyes and hearts of those who are close to us in different ways, whether it's family or friends or co-workers. Father, speak into their lives even tonight, this week. And Father, we pray even for our own hearts that you would, and mouths, that we would speak as you give us opportunity and utterance to speak. May we speak and minister grace to those who hear and be bold for the glory of your name. Remembering that there is an eternity to come, and there is joy that's promised to those who believe. So Lord, work in those hearts all to the glory of your name. And even work in our hearts to be praying for those that we even heard about tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.